So we're here on Daf Kufa Lamed Aleph, the Perikot Lorig, and the Gemara is going to try to establish that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a source for Chovel and another source for Mavir to prove and establish that in these two cases, as exceptional cases to the other 37 Malachas in the 39, you're Chayev even for Mekalkel. And when we say Mekalkel, it means even if it's a totally destructive act of Chavola, where you attack someone, you victimize someone by wounding him, or in the case of someone's haystack, you burn it down, that's Havara, that's Mavir, and you chayv for these two Malachos, despite the fact that they are Maleches Kilkul, they are destructive and not Tikkun, they're not constructive. So if you take a look, we're about 10 lines down from the top of the page, and the Gemara says, "My taima de Rabbi Shimon." Actually, the first word in the line is Shimon. Shimon, Rabbi Shimon is the one that the Gemara attributes the shita that Yechai for Chovel Umavir, even though it's Mekalkel. My taima, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon? He must have had some logical reason to take these two Malachos out of the bag, set them up as exceptions to the rule, in which case Yechayev, even though it's what? It's Mekalkel. Okay then? Mida itzer kra l'mishrei mila. There's a special Gzeres HaKosuv that tells us that Yechayev, I'm sorry, that you, we don't know whose phone that is. Okay? Anybody want to, nobody wants to claim the phone. Yeah, that's not at this point. Yeah, that's the Gemara about Rebbe. You know, Rebbe made an announcement, who ate garlic? Because there was this terrible smell of garlic. So, one of the greats got up, I think it was Rebbe Meir, and he says, it was me. And then everybody in the base measure all stood up and said, no, it was me. You know? They didn't want to embarrass the guys. In the case of cell phones, you can imagine that situation. So, but it's a crawl of Mishrei Mila. From the fact that the Torah needed a special pasuk to be Matir Mila. Which Mila are we talking about? When was the baby born? On Shabbos itself, right? And therefore the Mila is Docha Shabbos. And his entire perek in Shabbos later on in this Masechta dedicated to the laws of Mila B'Shabbos. Mila B'Shabbos is a very fascinating topic unto itself. Maybe we'll get to it sometime. Because there's always a fear that he won't do the Mila properly. And if he doesn't do the Mila properly, then Mila is not Docha Shabbos. Okay? Morning, Harvey. We have the pages for you. Zvi's been taking good care of you. He had it in deep freeze.
Okay.
So the Torah says that Mila is Docha Shabbos. And apparently, what would have been the premise if not for this derivation that Mila is Docha Shabbos? It would not be Docha Shabbos. Why not? Because it involves a malacha on Shabbos. Which malach on Shabbos are we talking about? Harvey, do you remember which malach we talked about in Mila when you draw blood by cutting the arla?
Yes. What's it called?
Chovel.
Chovel.
Okay, so you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So Chovel, which is a told of Netilas Neshama, which is a told of Shechita, right? We don't know exactly, that's a sugyot itself, what's the Av, what's the told of. Okay, so that's going to tell me that Chovel, again, the premise of the Gemara now is that Chovel in Mila is called what? How would you classify it? Is it Tikkun or Mekalkel?
Mekalkel.
Okay, the Gemara is going to take that up as a separate issue. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that Mila, as far as Chovel is concerned, is considered Mekalkel. So that's only halfway, because that's only going to establish Rabbi Shimon that Chovel is Chayev, even though it's Mekalkel. What about Mavir? So the Gemara answers, Mida Asa Rachmana Havara Gabi Bas Koe. We don't punish, we're talking about now capital punishment, a violator who is condemned to die. We don't punish them with any of the four categories of punishment. Now we're focused on Sreifa on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to derive that from a special limud, a special pasuk. Now, let me just say a few words of introduction about Sreifas Bas Kohen.
Yeah.
How did the Sreifa take place? I don't want to get into all the gory details, but it wasn't that we burnt someone at the stake. That's not the way we do it. The way we do it is we pour something down the throat that's going to burn up the insides of a person. Now, that which we put down into the mouth, down the throat of the Nisraf, is called a psila. And the word psila means many different things in different contexts. Usually it means a wick, like for example, you make a wick out of string or a rope and you put it inside and there. Here, in our context, the psila is a piece of metal. It's a small piece of metal. It's probably made of oferes, which I think is called in English lead. And they heat it up. And after they heat it up and it's burning hot, then they open the mouth in such a way that they can put it all the way down and it just burns up the insides of the person. Now, it's very interesting that if you isolate the psila itself, heating up the psila has a definite name to it. Let's see, do we still have access to this thing here? Okay, if anybody wants to write this down, I have an extra pen. I don't have the time now to clean the blackboard, the whiteboard. So it's called Mitzarev, Mem Tzadi Reish Pei. Mitzarev is a process by which we heat up metals. And for just to make life easier for ourselves, because again, you know, as I told you many times, Shabbos is a very complicated masechta with overlaps here, there, and elsewhere. But what overlaps for our purposes is that Mitzarev is probably a tolda of Meleches Makeh B'Patish, that when you heat up a metal, it somehow strengthens the metal. You could also take hot metal and throw it into a cold pool. That'll also there are many different ways of doing Mitzarev. And the Gemara assumes at this point that according to Rav Shimon, this was, Alan, we have a seat for you here if you want. According to Rabbi Shimon, we have here a case of Mekalkel. Now, why is this Mekalkel? That's not clear. And Rashi is going to try to give us an insight into why this is a Mekalkel. And then the Gemara is going to turn it around and say that no, it's not a Kilkul, but it's a Tikkun. And this might bring us back to our base Machlokas as to what's the din in a Melacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufo, which is a Machlokas from Shimon and Rabbi Yehud. So let's just assume that for the time being that any benefit that he gets from heating up this psila, as it's called, which is going to be used in the process of Sreifa, that benefit is not from the perspective of the one who's burning the metal, is not in the metal itself. Because if you recall from Alach Shem Tzuch L'Gufo, we always have to set up two categories of Mitzorah. Do I need it for in and of itself? Or do I need it for some sort of side benefit? That's what we discussed yesterday at great length. That's called Tikkun Hu'etz al Acherim, meaning whenever I need something for something extraneous, not for the thing itself. So for example, if I burn this piece of wood, I don't need the burnt piece of wood per se. I need the fire to go up so it will heat up my room, or I'll be able to put a pot on the fire. That's going to be an issue, according to Rabbi Shimon, because that's called the Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. And Rabbi Shimon, if you recall, doesn't recognize that Tzorah. Why? Because it's not L'Tzorah Gufa. Okay, we'll get back into this in Mitzvah Hashem in a few minutes, but I'm just throwing it out there. So in this case, where he's heating up the Psila, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, that's called a Meleches Kilkul. Why? Because he has no need to heat up this Psila. Again, he needs to heat up the Psila, but for another reason, in order to fulfill what punishment? Sreifa. So he needs it for Sreifa, but that's considered Eina Tzricha L'Gufa. Again, you have to hold on to this. We'll get back to this and clarify it as we go along. But in any event, it's not inherent in the metal itself. He doesn't need to heat up the metal. You know, there's some metal workers who need to heat up metal, and that's the object of their, and the purpose of their heating is to heat up the metal. Here, he has no purpose in heating up the metal other than what we call tikkun etz acherim for a different tzorech, namely for the tzorech of sreifa. So I'm not going to take any questions on that now, because again, that's going to be the whole shakal v'tariya back and forth to try to figure out what's going on. Okay. So again, at this point, the Gemara says that why did the Torah prohibit burning on, in the case of Misa Sreifa on Shabbos, even though, despite the fact that it's a Meleches Kilkul, right now the Gemara is maintaining that the Sreifa, the Havar, is a Meleches Kilkul. And the answer has to be, says Rabbi Shimon, that Mavir is Chayav, even though it's a Meleches Kilkul. The very essence of Meleches Mavir, Meleches Havara, which sets it up as something unique within the constellation of Meleches Shabbos, is that this Melech is different. All other Meleches are inherently constructive, or at least they are the flip side of a twin Melech. You remember we discussed the twin Melech, like in the case of Sosa Amanas Livnos, or Korea Amanas Litvar, and that whole, we had five different twin Melechas, where the first stage looks like Kilkul, but it's really not Kilkul, because it's preparing for the second stage, which is Tikkun. But all the Melechas, with the exception of Mavir, we'll get to Chovil in a second, are Meleches Tikkun. What does Tikkun mean? Constructive. Okay, that was the word we used. To fix something up. But in the case of Mavir, by definition, you're turning something into gas, into ashes. That combustion process is called Kilkul. That's what the Gemara holds now. And that act of Mavir, which is a Mavir of Kilkul, was prohibited on Shabbos in the parish of Sreifas Bas Kohen. And that's going to teach us that Yechayah for Mavir, despite the fact that it's a Meleches Kilkul, that's the sheet of whom? Again, the names are very important here, Rabbi Osai. Rabbi Shimon. Excellent. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Yechayah for Mavir, even though it's Mekalkin, he derives it from Sreifas Bas Kohen. Then we have Rabbi Shimon as far as Chovil is concerned. Again, Yechayah for Chovil, even though what? It's a Meleches Kilkul. Where and how does Rabbi Shimon derive the conclusion that the Torah prohibits Chovel, even though it's a Meleches Kilkul, drawing blood from someone? You know, the blood brings oxygen to the body, so destroying that blood is considered Kilkul, and yet the Torah prohibits it. How do I know the Torah prohibits it? Exactly, because the Torah had to be Matir Mila on Shabbos, even though Mila is a Meleches Chovel. Why did the Torah have to be Matir Meleches Mechabel Chovel in the case of Mila on Shabbos, if the Mila falls out on Shabbos? And the answer is because if not for the fact that there was a mitzvah Mila to be Docha Shabbos, we would have an Isur Meleches Chovel. And even though Chovel is Mekalkel, that's the Shita Reb Shimon. So it comes out that according to Reb Shimon, you know, it's really not right in a conceptual sense to say that there are 39 Melechas. There are really 37 Melechas and 2 Melechas. The 37 Melechas are all Meleches Tigun, and the 2 Melechas, Chovel and Mavir, on the 39, out of the 39 Meleches Kilkul. And now the Gemara is going to analyze, is this really so? And the reason why we're really hard-pressed to come up with what I call a counter-argument, a shlug up against Rabbi Shimon, is because Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara has established that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're only chayef a chovel or mavir if it's a case of tikkun. So Rabbi Yehuda does somersaults in the air to try to create a chovel where I take someone's blood, and yet it's considered a Meleches Tikkun. I burn someone's haystack down, and yet it's considered a Meleches Tikkun. And let's just review what we did yesterday. What was Rabbi Yehuda's insight here? How did he come up with a scenario where the Chovel, where he draws blood from someone, is considered a Tikkun? Does anybody remember?
Tzorach l'acherim.
Yeah, what was it for? What was the acher in this case?
For the blood?
To feed his dog. Okay, he's got to feed his dog blood. Don't ask me any questions. He has to feed his dog blood. And how did he take Meleches Mavir, when he burned someone's haystack down, and make it into a as you say, a tikkun etzel acherim? How did Rabbi Yehuda succeed in creating such a mavir? He needed it for what?
The ashes.
For the ashes. Okay, great. So that was Rabbi Yehuda. But again, that's only Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's something called a malacha sheinu tzricha legufa chayav aleh. And what that means is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can expand the definition of tzorech to include even tikkun etzel acherim, even though the tzorech is not begufo shel malacha. Now, the victimized person who's losing his blood, or the owner of the haystack who's losing his haystack, gets no benefit out of it. So as far as the gufa shel malacha, the object of one, which is, that's pure kilkul. But Rabbi Yehuda has a broader definition of litzorech. And Rashi points out in two places in Shas that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's how we fulfill the requirement of maleches machsheves, because he has machshava to achieve his personal subjective goal, even though it's not an objective goal in the object itself. So for example, if you draw someone's blood to feed your dog, that's not the archetype, you know, malacha of gufa. Or for example, if you burn someone's haystack up because you need the afer, you're going to fry your egg in the afer, that's not the paradigm malacha of legufa. But nevertheless, he has a tzorech, and that tzorech makes him to maleches machsheves. That's machshava, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, as Rashi explains it. And therefore, in Chovil Umavir, since the Torah recognizes and validates this broader definition of tzorech, therefore, in these two cases of tzorech lekalbo and tzorech liafro, according to Rabbi Yehuda, these are molechos of tikkun and not kilkul, because since he needs the tikkun etzel acherim, that itself makes it into what? Help me out, it's via moleches tikkun. But what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with these two cases of Mila and Shreifas Bas Kohen? He has no choice but to somehow reconstruct these two cases as Moleches Tikkun. And he's going to do it in a way that only Rabbi Yehuda could do it. Rabbi Shimon is not going to be able to do that. Rabbi Shimon is going to have to classify Chovel in the case of Mavir, in the case of Mila, and Mavir in the case of Shreifas Bas Kohen as Moleches Kilkul. And even though you'll tell me as a Tzorech, but that's not a Tzorech which the Torah validates, because Rabbi Shimon holds that Malach Shein Tzich Legufa Potur. David, are you with me on this? Okay, good. So again, it's all a question of how you define Tzorech. Rabbi Shimon says that the Torah validates a very limited, narrow Tzorech. It's got to be exactly the Tzorech, we call it paradigmic Tzorech, that you need the Gufa Shel Malacha, the Gufa Shel Malacha, the essence of the Malacha. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that the Torah validates a broader definition of Tzorech, and that means if you subjectively have a Tzorech which is extraneous, which is external to the Gufa Shel Malacha, that too is a Tzorech. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to always claim that in all cases of Chovel and Mavir, including, as we'll soon see, in Mila and in Sreifas Bas Kohen, we have a Tzorech. What kind of Tzorech? Not a Tzorech Gufa, but what? A Tzorech Eitzel Acherim, some sort of side benefit. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's going to convert the Malacha from a Maleches Kilkul into a Maleches Tikkun. Rabbi Shimon doesn't have that luxury. He doesn't have that window of opportunity, because according to Rabbi Shimon, Tzorech means the Tzorech Gufa Shel Malacha. And as we'll soon see, according to Rabbi Shimon, in the cases of Mila and Sreifas Bas Kohen, there's no Tzorech Lit Gufa Shel Malacha. So what's Rabbi Yehuda's expanded definition of Tzorech with regard to Mila and Sreifas Bas Kohen? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to say? Hasam over there, in the cases of Mila and Sreifas Bas Kohen, Mitaken Hu, it's considered a Tikkun.
What is that?
This is five lines up from the bottom of the page, Kufvav. Okay, we're on this page here. Do you see it? About five, six lines up from the bottom of the page. Kidrav Ashi. The Omar of Ashi. Mali Litaken Mila. Mali Litaken Kli. Mali Levashel Psila. Mali Levashel Samimonim. Alan, if you want a copy, I have photocopies right here. If you. Okay. So Rabosai, now we have to figure out what is this equation, actually two equations, that Rav Ashi presents here, he postulates here. One equation is between Mesakin in the case of Mila and Mesakin in the case of Kli. And the second equation is Bishul Hapsila and Bishul Samimon. So for that we have two Rashis. Now Rabosa, I want to take a quick vote over here. The Rashba in Chidushia Rashba, which we'll have to see in Mirtz Hashem during the course of the morning, has a pshat here in this sugya, which I think simplifies Rav Ashi. And I'm wondering, I'm thinking out loud now, whether or not I should mention to you if by popular vote the Rashba before Rashi, usually Rashi comes first, but in this case I would just like to mention the Rashba. If you'll do I have a green light for that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'm just going to mention the Rashba here. The Rashba claims that in both these cases of Mila and Mavir, the tikkun is the mitzvah itself. Now let's explain what the Rashba means by going back to Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis. Because again, even though we did Kuf Hei Amid Beis, let's just sort of jolt our memory. Do we have the Gemara Shabbos? Maybe I'll just borrow it for you for a second until I find my photocopy. It'll just save time. There was a stira between the Mishnah on Kuf Hei Amid Beis and the Braisa with regard to the case of Korea al Mesa. Whereas the Mishnah says Korea al Mesa is Potur, the Braisa says Korea al Mesa is Chay. And in order to reconcile this contradiction, the Gemara introduces a concept of Kiyum HaMitzvah. And the Gemara wants to suggest that in the case of the Mishnah, there was no Kiyum HaMitzvah. That's called Meis Di Alma. It's not a relative of his who died. And in contrast, the Brice is addressing a case of Meis Di Dei, of one of his relatives, who was the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Kriya. And the Gemara goes on to say, here on Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis, that the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, even though it's a case of Meis Didei, even though it's a relative and he obtains a Kiyum Mitzvah of Kriya, despite that fact, you're still part. Whereas the Braisa that says B'meis di dei yochayav, that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon holds Malach Shem Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter, and therefore the Mishnah says Korea al Meso is Potter. This despite the fact that he has a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand holds Malach Shem Tzricha L'Gufa Chayav, and that's the Braisa. The Braisa says that Korea al Meso is Chayav because it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda. And even though he's destroying the Beged, which is Meleches Kilkul, he's Chayev because there's a Kiyum HaMitzvah of Kriya. So you see, one thing is very clear from this Gemara, that Kiyum HaMitzvah doesn't make a Meleches Kilkul into a Tikkun. I need a complex answer to that question. It depends. If you are like Reb Shimon, that Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Patur, then Kiyum HaMitzvah does not transform a Meleches Kilkul into a Meleches Tikkun. Whereas if you hold that Melech Hashem Tzuich L'Guf like Rabbi Yehuda's Chayov, then Kiyum HaMitzvah, in the case of Kriya Al Meisti Day, converts the Kriya from a Kilkul into a Tikkun. Why does this issue depend upon Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? I'm not sure. This is very unclear. But let me just suggest a temporary, a working definition in progress.
A working hypothesis.
A hypothesis that Rabbi Shimon holds that you need Litzara Gufo. The Kli itself, or in this case the Begad itself, is not improved by ripping it. Again, I'm not going into Hilchas Kriya, but that's a different shiur. But right now we're assuming that the Begad is destroyed, and it's not improved. The improvement is in the person who obtains a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Rabbi Shimon holds that a Kiyum, although it's meaningful, and it's Litzorech, but since it's not inherent in the object in which I'm doing the Malacha, namely in the Begad, it remains a Tikkun study, it remains a Tikkun Eitzel Acherim, and it's not Litzorech Gufo. And therefore the Malacha of Kriya, even in the case of Al-Mesdi Day, remains a Meleches Kilkul. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, he holds that there's a broader definition of what? Of Tzarech. And that definition of Tzarech includes, even if it's not Litzorech Gufo, but he has some benefit from it, and that benefit could even be a Kiyum HaMitzvah, and that makes it into a Meleches Tikkun. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda recognizes a Tzorech which is not inherent in the Melacha, it's not in the Beged, but it's in the person. And if we fast forward now back to our Sugya Daf Kuvav, in the case of Mila, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mila is a Tikkun. One could ostensibly argue that Mila is a Tikkun because it is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Do you follow what I'm saying? That as far as the child himself is concerned, that's a Kilkul. You know, the fact that he draws blood and becomes weak, and the Gemara says the Tinok is in fact weakened by the drawing of the blood, that itself would be a Meleches Kilkul. Narvaz, since the Gavra gets a Kiyum, and that's what Ben was insisting here on Gavra Chefta. I wanted to push that off because I give a Derech Shia, and that's I'm hoping to leave Gavra Chefta for my Derech Shia. This is a good time to publicize. I need 1/5 guy. If we get him on board, then I have my quorum to start my Derech Shia at 2:00. Anyway, so that even though in the Chefta itself there's no Tikkun, because the baby is weakened by the loss of blood, nevertheless, the Gavra, the person who's implementing the Mila, insofar as he's Mekayim HaMitzvah, that Kiyum HaMitzvah makes the Meleches Tikkun into Meleches Kilkul into Meleches Tikkun. So now we have something very beautiful. We have Rabbi Yehuda being very consistent in three cases. Number one, we have the case of Chovel Vitzarech Domo LeKalbo. And it's an extraneous benefit that he gets. His tzorech is not begufo because the victim who's losing his blood is weakened, but the blood is very good for his dog. We have the case of Koreal Meso B'meis D'day, and there, since he's chayv in the midst of Kriya, even though the Begad itself is destroyed, but he gets a benefit from it, so that's the broader definition of Litzorech, makes it into a Meleches Tikkun. And now we have the case of Mila. So we have, again, let's just go over the three cases. We have Chovel Vitzarech Domo LeKalbo. We have Korea Vitzarech Kriya LeKiyum Mitzvah Kriya B'meis D'day. And now we have Mila, and he has the Kiyum HaMitzvah of Mila. Now, again, Rabosai, my mind is flooded by a myriad of questions. I mean, who has the Kiyum Mitzvah of Mila? The child himself is chayav in Mila, just that the Torah said the child can't do Mila, so the father does Mila. Okay, I'll grant you the father is chayav in Mila. What about the Moel? Is the Moel chayav in Mila? Or maybe he gets a mitzvah of, I don't know if he gets a mitzvah of Mila, maybe he gets a mitzvah of Haftal Reach Kamocha or something, you know, helping out his friend.
Doesn't he made a shaliach by the father?
Yeah, even though he makes a but the shlichus is on the maisa milo. I can't obligate the shliach in the mitzvah that I'm obligated in. You follow? Let's say, for example, I have tevel here, so I need to be mafresh truma. So I point you, Ben, as my shliach to be mafresh the truma. You have a moral obligation to live up to my request on, you know, to implement the shlichus, but the mitzvah of truma is not yours. I know I could theoretically transfer ownership of my produce to you. You'll make a kinyan of some sort, and then you become obligated in truma. But barring that, if I'm just asking you to go out to my fields and be mafresh truma, I wouldn't say it's your mitzvah.
But bris, the baby is born incomplete. You're completing the baby. So instead of looking at a chilko, it's not like tearing a beged. You made the beged worse, but you did a mitzvah. When you cut the baby, you completed the body.
Good.
It's not a chilko.
So you are machami to the Rashba. The Rashba wants to suggest that perhaps what the father gains here, as far as milas b'no, is not necessarily the mitzvah. So the Rashba has two approaches. One approach he wants to say it's the mitzvah. The other approach he wants to say is that now the son is allowed to eat kodshim, and now he can enter into the Beis HaMikdash. There are all sorts of restrictions that apply to an Orel. And a Mahul, who's already been circumcised, is upgraded in his status. Maybe that status change itself is a tikkun. The Rashba is not so sure about this because he doesn't know if the Moel himself is benefiting from this change in status. The father, he thinks, is benefiting from the change in status because the halacha in Karban Pesach is that until the father fulfills his obligation of what? Of Mila Vizvi's son. Now, let's say the father has a son who's 8 days old and beyond, then until such time as the father implements his Chiyuv Mila, he's not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach. He himself. So the status of the son actually impacts on the father. So that could be a way of saying it. Yeah, Shmuel, go ahead.
Let's say the father were incapacitated or away or something like that. The Beit Din would still want to send a moel to the fence. It's like there's a certain
excellent, beautiful. So this is a sugya at the end of the first parak of Kiddushin, and the sugya says that. Now it's not clear. The sugya does say that it's a chiv on the community and basically represents the community, but it's not clear whether that applies in all cases,
right,
or only in the case where
the father can't do it on his own. That's why the moel is there to help him get it done.
Right. So you want to suggest that now the moel is a representative of the community. The chiyuv of mila now falls on the community.
Because the father's trying to do it, okay. About this mana, he needs help.
Okay, that's good. So for that, we have to see the Gemara Darshan's in Kiddushin of Pasuk Himol Timo, the double language to include the entire community
still helps
in the chiyuv of
Bez. If there's a limud, it still helps our Shimon a little bit.
Right. So again, let me just review the Rashba. But the Rashba wants to suggest that the mitzvah of Mila is itself a tikkun, and in the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen, the mitzvah of implementing an onesh is itself a mitzvah which makes Sreifas Bas Kohen into a mitzvah, and therefore upgrades the mavir. But again, the Rashba has to add another piece, which Belineta will see later on, that even the burning of the psila, although it's a preliminary step to the actual kium sreifa, but nevertheless, that's also part of the mitzvah incumbent upon Bezdin to implement the death penalty. But in any event, the mila and the havara, according to the Rashba, are both to be classified as a kium mitzvah. Does that transform, or let's say upgrade, the chavolad mila and the mavir in the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen into a meleches tikkun? That, says the Rashba, depends upon Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, who holds the melech shen tzricha legufa potu, would hold that in these cases they remain in Mila and Tzrifas Maskana, they remain a Meleches Kilkul, because as far as the Gufa Shel Melacha, the object and the victim of the Melacha, they are Kilkul, these two Melachos. But Rabbi Yehuda has the luxury of implementing the greater, broader scope definition of Tzorech, such that now, in the cases of what? Of Mila L'Tzorech Mitzvah and Tzrifas Maskana L'Tzorech Mitzvah, that's enough to convert these two malachas respectively into malachas of tikkun. So that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Lishitasam, because we saw this already on Daf Kufayim and Beis with regard to Korea Al Meso, that whereas Rabbi Shimon would pati you up for Korea Al Meso because it's a malachas kilkul, Rabbi Yehuda says Korea Al Meso is chayav because it's a malachas tikkun insofar as he's makayim the mitzvah. That's one half of the Rashba. And the other half of the Rashba is the Rashba goes into this whole analysis of the tikkun here, not from the perspective of the mitzvah so much, but from the tikkun, let's say, for example, the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen of for Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael Ubiarta Aram Yikirbecha. Again, we wince at this because we live in a very liberal, you know, bleeding heart liberal society. But back in the original sources, you know, when it comes to the Mises Bezdin, again, there's a lot of mercy in Mises Bezdin too. Barlo Mises Yofen, there has to be Vidui and it's Kapara and so forth. So there's a lot of things, but you know, Misha Omer Al Kodesh Baruch Hu Vatra and Yivatra Al Chayav. I mean, there's no way of saying that God will look the other way and not punish a person, a criminal who deserves punishment. So, in the case of Ubiarta Aram Yikirbecha, where the Torah says that a person who is so guilty of a very heavy, harsh criminal crime that generates a capital punishment, the Torah says Ubiarta Aram Yikirbecha. That bir hara, that meeting out of punishment, is itself called a tikkun. And we're going to see in the Rashba how he operates with Mila and with Sreifas Bas Kohen both as some sort of a tikkun for Klal Yisrael, for Adas Yisrael. Okay, so that's going to be the Rashba. But Rashi doesn't mention the word mitzvah, I don't think.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
I think we had a principle earlier. Let's say that the father is doing the Brit Milah, and his kavana or tzorach is to do the mitzvah. And even though the ma'aseh is chabura, his kavana is to do a mitzvah and a tikkun. Wouldn't that make it a constructive act? And therefore, if it weren't for the fact that the
Torah
said you can do it on Shabbos,
but only according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
Okay. If we're on the same page, only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say that which you do for the sake of a mitzvah is considered tikkun, because that's the broader definition of Tzorech, which Rabbi Yehuda validates. In the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen, that's what the Rashba insists, the broader definition of Tzorech allows me to say that since the Torah has commanded us in this entire process of Sreifas Bas Kohen, that makes it into what? A Meleches Tikkun, only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who again validates the Tzorech, and Kiyum HaMitzvah makes it Tzorech. Now, I say this in advance of Rashi, because honestly, I thought the Rashba was giving me the simplest pshat in this sugya. Rashi, as we say in modern Hebrew, misabechotan. You know, he confuses us. Makes what I thought was simple into more complex. And that's not Rashi's approach, as you know. Rashi always tries to reduce, you know, complexity into simplicity, not the other way around. Yeah, please. And therefore, you know, I want to read the Rashi with you, and I want to do something that today, Baruch Hashem, we have computers that can do it in a jiff. We don't need human beings to do it, but we're going to do a word search here in two Rashis, the Rashi about Mila and the Rashi about Sreifas Bas Kohen, and I'm going to look carefully for the word mitzvah, which appears in the Rashba all over the place. Okay, so let me first just read the Rashis to you. Rashi says, Mali mitaken kli, just like you're chayav on Shabbos for meleches tikkun, if you fix up a utensil, so too in the case of Mila, hanami mesaken gavrahu. Okay, so Rashi says Misaken Gavra. Those are the key three words in Rashi I want you to underline. V'yesh, what's the next word? V'yesh? Yeah, V'yesh Malacha B'tikun Zeh. I think what he means by V'yesh Malacha means this is considered a regular standard Malacha of Tikkun, a classical Malacha. Again, I'm asking you to look for the word Mitzvah in Rashi, and then look for the word Mitzvah in the next Rashi. Bishul Psila, right? Shehu, excuse me, what's the next word? Because I don't have it.
Madlik.
Shehu Madlik Psila Shel Eiver. Okay, Eiver is another word for lead. So he takes a small piece of lead and he burns it until it's burning hot. Vilitna Latov Pia, and he puts it down her mouth. And I say her here because we're talking now about a bas koin shezinsa. So I use the female. V'derech bishulhu. What's the next word? No, I'm sorry. V'derech bishulhu zeh. The next word, I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. V'chayav al habishul. V'chayav al habishul. Okay, so Rashi learns that what the Gemara is talking about here is not the actual sreifa of the Bas Kohen, but the sreifa of what? Of the psila, of this piece of lead. And that itself is called bishul. And by the way, if we have, when we get up to it in Mirtz Hashem B'lineder, we'll get up to Melechas Bishul, we'll see that bishul applies not only to food stuff, but also to metals. If you heat up metals, that could also be a process of bishul. Sometimes you heat up metals, you chai from makav patish. Sometimes you chai from leches bishul, and that's going to be a sugyan to itself. So Rashi says, "V'derech bishul huzeh." When they light the fire and heat up the metal, that's called derech bishul. V'chayav ala bishul, and he's chayav here on this bishul. She'eno mekalkel ha'ever. Bibishulo elamisaken vitzoref. He's not rooting this lead, but on the other hand, he is improving the lead.
He's mitaken.
Now, Rashi indicates that the tikkun here is in the lead itself, and Rashi doesn't tell us, you know, he doesn't seem to give us much room to explain Rabbi Shimon, because keep in mind that Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that this is a Meleches Kilkul. And we're going to have to ask the same question about Mila, because Rashi says that the Mila itself is a Tikkun Gavra, whatever that means, but what it does mean is that's a Meleches Tikkun. Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon buy into that? But again, getting back to my question, how many times does Rashi repeat the word mitzvah here? Zero. So the word mitzvah doesn't appear in Rashi. And that's a tzarech ian gadol. I don't really understand why Rashi was avoiding what seems to me to be the simplest pshat here in this sugya. And that's how the Rashba starts this sugya. Again, the Rashba is more complicated than that, but at least in his opening line, the Rashba says that this is called a tikkun because it's a kiyum mitzvah mila. It's no different than the kiyum mitzvah of kriya in the case of Mesti Day. Instead, Rashi gives a different svar, which seems much more complex, and that is tikkun gavra, because a mohel, as we said before, is a complete person as far as Jewish law is concerned. He's allowed to enter into the Beis Hamikdash. He's allowed to eat kodshim, he can partake in the Karban Pesach, all these dinim apply as a result of the tikkun gavra of mila. But again, Rashi avoids the tikkun of mitzvah. Now, if you take a look at Rashi in bishul psila, Rashi says that there's a bishul on this lead substance that's called misaken, it's a tzorif, it's a psila. And once again, Rashi doesn't indicate that the tikkun here is kiyum mitzvahs sreifas bas kohen, but rather it's the tikkun on the psila shel eiver. And Rashi seems to assume in both cases, whether it's mila or whether it's sreifas bas kohen, that the tikkun of mitzvah is not considered a tikkun, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And we said that the tikkun of kriya, according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, is a result of the kiyum mitzvahs kriya b'meisti day. Otherwise, why did the Gemara make a difference between whether it was meisti day or meisti alma? So I don't know why, on the one hand, in the sugya daf kufayim and beis, the premise is that tikkun mitzvah transforms a kilkel into what? Into a tikkun, at least according to whom? Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas here, Rashi insists, I mean, again, Rashi doesn't say this explicitly, but mitoch lava tashmehem, by the fact that Rashi did not go down this road of tikkun mitzvah, instead he calls it tikkun gavra, and he calls it a tikkun because of the bishul of psila, it's mesakin the psila, it's mitzarif the psila. Apparently Rashi holds a tikkun mitzvah, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, would not be sufficient to convert a meleches kilkul into meleches tikkun, and I don't know why. What I'm hoping is that when we learn the first half of this Tosus, the Omar, I'm sorry, I keep saying the Omar Ravashi, but there's a printing mistake here. It should be the Tosus, the Ibrahim Askel, Malid. Yeah.
In the Rashi on Kufay and the Bays, on the Havamezdi day, Rashi doesn't use the word mitzvah, but he does use a language that implies that. It says that the Kufay and the Mezdi day, Chayiv Likro.
Right.
So
right.
Rashi's accepting the Rashi's premise in the right. sense without using the word.
So why doesn't he use it here? That's what I'm hoping that Tosus will.
He doesn't even need mitzvah. As long as I can prove tikkun, any type of tikkun, it's enough to make it chayav hashamos.
Yeah, but Rashi is introducing a complex kind of tikkun that maybe he can eat kodshim now, and maybe it's a tikkun because he can enter into the Beis HaMikdash. You know, all that seems to be unnecessary. I mean, we had the sugya of Koreal Meso. We said if it's Meisti Day Review, the whole Yachayev. Rashi says because of the obligation of Kriya. But why should we look? Why should we look elsewhere when we have something glaring us? You know. Right, jumping out of the pages here. That's what I don't know. Now again, we have to keep in mind that according to Rashi, this concept of tikkun gavra in the case of mila, or for example the tikkun psila in the case where we heat up the piece of lead in order to initiate the process of sreifas bas kohen, that tikkun is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. And one could ask, why wouldn't Reb Shimon equally validate that dimension of tikkun? And I'm tempted to think, in the case of mila, in the case of psila, I don't know how to move from the spot, but in a case of mila, yes, the child is improved. But if I were to divide up all of reality into two, there's physical reality and then there's legal reality. So where would you put the benefit of mila, the tikkun of mila? Is that in a physical reality, or is it in a legal reality, a halachic reality?
A legal reality.
Yeah, because as far as the baby's physicality is concerned, we're still assuming, which the Gemara assumes all over the place, that's why Machal Shabbos, is because the baby becomes very weak as a result. You know that in Chutz La'aretz, we don't make Shechiyonu on a mila, which is mind-boggling when you think about it. Imagine I'll dramatize this, a man waits, he and his wife wait for decades to have a child, to have a little baby boy. What greater mitzvah could there be that's, you know, unusual, and it's if maybe in this case it's a once in a lifetime. I remember my daughter after four girls had a boy, you know, my daughter and son-in-law, like, was like, check this out, like, did this really happen, kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? But in Chutz La'aretz, here in Eretz Yisrael, they make a Shechiyonu. Chutz La'aretz, they hold like the Rashba. And the Rashba says, we can't make Shechiyonu because of the Tzara Deinuka. You know, the baby is in pain. And it's not fair for us to make Shechiyonu when the baby is in pain. You know, we're happy, God, you brought us this great day, and the baby's in pain. That's the Rashba Shita. And that's how the minhag is in Chutz La'aretz, as I said before. But in this case, Rashi says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I can transform mila into a meleches tikkun because of the tikkun gavra. Now, the tikkun gavra is purely what? Legal. It's not physical. In the physical universe, the baby is weak, the baby is in pain. And apparently, and I'm not sure exactly why, but Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing. Well, again, Rabbi Yehuda's a cinch over here, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that any tzarek that I have in doing this, any benefit that I get, itself makes it into a tikkun. And if you recall, okay, not everyone was here when we did the Tosfos read, but I'll just say over the, you know, the punchline of the Tosfos read. The Tosfos read points out that if I need the dam, if I need the dam to feed my dog, and what do? I wound somebody, correct? I need the ashes to heat up my egg, and I destroy a haystack. The haystack, says the Tosfos Reed, is worth 1,000. The ashes are worth 5, you know. No, it's a Meleches Tikkun. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that if I get benefit from it, that benefit, even if it on the balance sheet it's sort of inferior from one perspective to the gains, I'm sorry, to the losses, I meant to say, right? You remember you have the assets and the deficits. So even though by far the deficits outweigh the assets, nevertheless it's still considered Meleches Tikkun according to Rabbi Yehuda. That was the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda according to Tosfos Reed. And he gives the dramatic example of shechting an animal. The live animal is worth 1,000. The meat of the animal is worth 200. And not only that, he only wants to eat one kizayis of basar, which is worth 10. And he slaughters the animal. So the Tosfos Reed says he's chayav. Why? Because that itself makes it a tikkun. Again, why this should depend upon Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, we had a long discussion about that, but that was Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So even from the baby's perspective, we could say that Rabbi Yehuda would validate the tikkun gavra here, despite the sara d'yanuka. That's going to be Rabbi Yehuda Shita here. Then we get to Sreifas Baskoin. Now here the picture gets a lot more complicated, because Rashi's saying that I take this lead and I heat it up, and that's called a tikkun. That's bishul. That's mitzarif. That does something positive for the lead itself. But the answer is, I'm not interested in the lead. What am I interested in? I'm interested in the Sreifas Baskoin. Right?
What the lead does.
What the lead does. See, Rashi doesn't spell this out. I think we have to add this to Rashi. Rashi is saying that there is a Meleches Tikkun here, but only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda is going to see the improvement in the lead as a stepping stone to gain the benefit that he wants, the benefit, namely what? Sreifas Baskoin. So insofar as it's a precondition, it's a preliminary stage that leads up and culminates with Sreifas Baskoin, Rabbi Yehuda says that's called the Malach Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa. The Torah recognizes his tzorech, validates it, and therefore it makes it into a Meleches Tikkun. But why did Rashi avoid the simple pshat of the Rashba? So let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says the following: Mali levashel psila, mali levashel samimonim. Ein lefareish kimoshe bishel samimonim mitaknam lios yoser chashuvim. Okay, you take these herbs and you put them into a cauldron, into a pot of hot water, boiling water. And what do you extract from these natural substances? They both say, what's samimonim in English?
Yeah.
Dye, D-Y-E. The dye is worth more than the natural samimonim. The process itself improves the value of that which results from the process, that which you extract from. That's called Mevashel Samimonim. He says, Kacha Psila, you might say the same thing applies to the Psila. Chashuva, what's the next word, sorry?
Yoser
Al Yedei Bishel. That the lead is worth more on the market by the fact that you heated it up. He says, that's not the Pshat. De'i Hainu Taima de Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda, that the lead itself is worth more, is Shar Misos Bezdin, the Lo Dochi Shabbos Minolon. You know, you've answered the question as to why the Torah considers the process of Sreifas Bas Kohen to be a violation of Molacha. It's a Molechas Tikkun, because in the process of Sreifas Bas Kohen, you have to take a piece of lead and you've got to burn it, and that improves the lead. But you haven't answered the other question. Why does the Torah prohibit all the other three capital punishments of Skila and Hereg and Chenek? In all those cases, it's a Molechas Kilkul. Why did the Torah have to why did the Torah prohibit that? Kevin de lo shayach tikkun davara, in those three methods of putting the criminal to death, we don't find that we're burning any sort of a psila. Lo asra Torah el tzorech sreifas bas kohen. So why did the Torah prohibit all the misos of Beis Din? The Torah should have prohibited Sreifas Bas Kohen, because there's a positive tikkun insofar as the preliminary stage improves by burning this psila, the status of the psila.
I think you skipped a line.
Maybe I skipped a line, sorry.
Could be wrong.
Oh, okay. So what was the last word of the line there? Ella? Ella Mishum Tikkun Psila. So Tosis says that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds that in this case there is a tikkun. One second. I see now why I skipped along. Okay, just 1 second. The image from Hainu Taima. Okay, so this Rabbi also we're going to have to work on. What does he mean by Mishum Tikkun Psila? Okay, I'm going to throw that into your court, and hopefully during the course of the morning, we'll figure this out. So let's take a break in this Tosis for a minute. We don't have too much time, but in the last few minutes that we have, to at least introduce the Trumas Hadeshen.
Where is the Trumas Hadeshen?
Here. Okay?
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I had it here in front of me, and of course I lost it. 1 second, give me just a second here. Oh, here it is. Okay. So this is the Trumas Hadeshen Simon Reish Samach Hei She'ela. So I mentioned to you a few minutes ago that the question of Mila B'Shabbos is a bit complicated, because we're always considering the possibility that this Mila might not be successful, and therefore the mitzvah of Mila was not fulfilled. Now, the power to be Docha Shabbos, to override the Shabbos, is inherent in the Mila itself, meaning the mitzvah of Mila. The Torah allows the mitzvah of Mila to be Docha Shabbos, but not a kilkul. In other words, if he's mekalkil and he doesn't fulfill it. So that's where he asked him, Shmini shal Mila Shir Shabbos, the eighth day of Mila coincided with Shabbos, ve'avia ben yodeh lamul, Avolo mol kvar rak pam achas.
He only ever done it once.
Once. So we can't really rely on him that he's going to do a good meal. He has very limited experience. But yesh uman achas, there's another moel around. Shemol kvar kama pa'amin. Yeah, you get the impression that that this was out in the boondocks here. You know, that they couldn't fly in a moel for Shabbos. You know. So even the more reliable moel, he says, "Kama pa'amim." I don't know how many times he says, Shavkinen, should we insist that the Av should be left out? Shavkinen, we should leave out the father. Lomol b'Shabbos b'chai gam no lo. So the father wants to get the extra kiyum mitzvah, let's say mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho, he wants to do it himself. But maybe in this case, because it's Shabbos,
he's prevented from doing it.
Maybe that's what the question of the question was, should we prevent him from doing it because we have to worry about the fact that he won't successfully achieve the bits of Mila. Again, the baby will survive, but the Mila won't survive. The mitzvah's Mila, I mean. And therefore, he violated the Shabbos. You know, the only heter to do Mila. So the answer of the Truma Sadesh, we'll just read the first part of it. Yiroya, it seems to me, we really have to analyze this very carefully. Now, there's a word missing here, but it's not missing because the print of missed it, but just historically it's not there. What word should you put between the word Besefer and Yoredeya?
Shulchan
Aruch. No, it can't be the Shulchan Aruch. The Truma Sadesh was before the Shulchan Aruch. So what does he mean when he's referring to exactly the tour? The Besefer Tur Yoredeya. I mean, he didn't have to add the word Tur because it was only one Yoredeya in his time. The Ilchas Mila. Vizel Shona Kosov Rav Rebliezer Al Levi Im Ha'av Yodea Lamul Elo Lamul Bashabs Im Yesh Acher Shu Yodea Lamul. If we have someone else, he would prefer that someone else do the Mila. The Mila he psik resha Ligabe Shu Miskavin Latakin es Bino Avalgabi Acher Lo Mikri Misakin Vishart.
Nothing to do with whether he's good or not.
Right. He's not talking about whether he's good or not. He's going to lead into this later on. But before he does so, he wants to point out that in the worst case scenario, if the Mila is unsuccessful, would this be a violation of Shabbos under the law of Chovel? And again, keep in mind that according to the Rashba, if he forfeits the key of mitzvah of Mila, then this might be a makalkel. But even according to Rashi, if it's tikkun gavra, it should be a makalkel. But right now he's holding like Rav Shimon that makalkel b'chabura is chayav. And the only way of circumventing the chiyuv here, if there's no mitzvah of Mila and there is no tikkun, is by saying that it's a Dovah She'eino Miskaven, that he really didn't have kavana to injure the baby and take its blood, if not for the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But here there's no Kiyum HaMitzvah, so he doesn't want to take out the blood. The only problem is he's cutting the Arla in such a way that he's definitely going to take out blood. That's called a Psik Reisha. Again, we can have a whole discussion about that. So then the problem is that there's something called Psik Reisha Denichale, Psik Reisha Lo Nichale. So that's complicated. But in any event, he wants to make a distinction, the tour, in the name of Rabbi Elazar Alevi, that there may be a distinction between the father, who definitely has a kavana here to mal his son, and therefore might make it into a Psik Reisha, as if he was a miskaven, but Acher for some reason is not. Umiyum ein Acher, even the Rabbi Elazar Alevi agrees that if there's no one else to do the Mila, Shiyodei Lomel Yimol Ad Kan Lashon V'Mordechai V'Perkisi Adam Kosef Tshuva Tshuvas Rabbeinu Simcha V'Rabbi Rimeshulam B'Rabbi David Sha'odam Shalom Mal Me'olam. If this is first Mila Pshita Dilo Yomel Shabbos Chayshin and Shemi Yikalka, and Mili won't successfully implement the mitzvah of Mila, then Imta Michal Shabbos, and he's in violation of Shabbos.
Because he hasn't done it three times.
So if he violates the Shabbos, then we're talking about Melechus Chovel. Again, you and I might say, well, wait a minute, if it's Melechus Chovel minus the tikkun of Mila, then therefore it becomes a Bleches Kilku, but that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. If we all agree with Shimon, then in the case of Chovel, even if it's a Meleches Kilkel, you'd be Chayav. You might also ask, is it a Dovr Shein Miskavin? But maybe since he's definitely going to draw blood, it becomes a Psik Reisha. Then you could ask the question whether it's Nichole or not Nichole, and then you could differentiate perhaps between the father and someone else. But basically what he's saying is that we don't want to get into a situation where there's a significant, shall we say, possibility that there will be a meleches chovel done on Shabbos without anything to override the Shabbos because he did not fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. And he gives a mashal from a Gemara in Masechta Beitza. Vanisha Mati, okay, so this is the tour. Vanisha Mati, this is the Trumas Adeshen, B'derech Shmua, She'echad Me'agdolim. There's a footnote here I wanted to point out to you in my edition, in the Maril was a contemporary of the Trumas Adeshen. His here, Li'avia Ben, Shamal Kvar Kamapamin. He says that even in a case where the father has some experience in Mila, but nevertheless, lo yomul es bino b'Shabbos, he shouldn't circumcise his son on Shabbos. If Yeshu Mo'alach, if there's anyone else who could do the Mila, v'al adam shemol rak pam achas, eishu b'tshuva achas, shu mesupak im yofel lomul b'Shabbos, hol v'lo is chazik b'tlas zimne. So if he doesn't have the experience of three times. Now at this point, I would encourage you to learn the two pieces that I'm skipping. Well, maybe in your page it doesn't appear as two. Here in my printing again, it appears as two paragraphs. At the end of the piece that we're skipping, he tries to explain why, with regard to the father, it would be a psik resha, which is nichole, whereas for acher it's not considered psik resha to nichole. But then he says, Omnam Nireh. Do you have that point? That's where I think I have the underline for you.
Where?
The Omnam Nireh. Is it towards the bottom? Here it is.
Yeah.
Omnam Nireh. That's towards the bottom of your page one. And with this, we'll conclude. The Kain Das Sefer Yoredeh. I can understand the tour. Ratzalomer, what's the logic of the tour? The Svirlan Kerev Yehuda. We hold like Rabbi Yehuda. The Makalkel Bechabura Potu. The Trumas Adeshin says that we accept the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, Lekula, that Makalkel Bechabura is Potu. That would weigh in favor of the father doing the Mila, because even in the worst case scenario, if he fails to implement the Mila properly, then the drawing of the blood is only what? Is only Makalkel. Makalkel b'chabur is potter. Oh. Now you'll ask me, well, if Makalkel b'chabur is potter, why does the Torah have to be Matir Mila on Shabbos? There's a mitzvah Mila, and I should certainly implement that Mila. And the drawing of the blood is only a kilkel. So he says, V'had Yitzrach l'mishrei Mila, Hainu k'dishani Rav Ashi b'perika oreg, quoting our Rav Ashi here on Kufo, the Mila Lo chashiv kilkul de malusakin gavra malusakin mona umochiach hasam atosus lepirush Rashi dena tam mishum de mila mishum chashiv tikkun mishum kiyum mitzvah. It's not because of the kiyum mitzvah, as we said in the name of the Rashba, dimkein matzorach lefareish. Why did the Gemara need to explain that hasam nami? The Komar Nami Hosom, in the case of Sreifas Paskoim, Mali Bishal Psila, Mali Bishal Samimonim, what do I need Bishal Psila for? She'eno Makalkel Esa Aver, he's not rooting this piece of molt of lead, Elamasakin Vitzorev. Why do we need that for? Tepakle Shutikun Mishum Mitzvahs Misas Bezdin. The very fact that Rashi omitted mitzvah in the case of Sreifas Bas Kohen indicates that Rashi deliberately omitted mitzvah in the case of Mila as well. And for some unknown reason, mitzvah per se neither in the case of Mila nor in the case of Shreis Ras Kohen is enough to transform a Melechas Pilkun into Melechas Tikun. El HaKocha Sova Rashi Dimishum Hachi Chashiva Mila Tikun Mishum Dal Yidei Kach Nasa Tinok Yisrael Shalem. And here he quotes a Gemara in the third parak of Masechtas Sukkah, where the Gemara says that for a Hadas, which you want to use for Dalminim, if there are more berries on the Hadas than leaves, then you have to remove the berries, but you can't do that on Yontiv. Why? Because that's a Tikkun Mana. Because before it wasn't Huksha L'mitzvasa, now it becomes Kosha L'mitzvasa. Here too, the RL becomes Kosha L'mitzvasa, so that he can eat Kodshim, and he can partake in the carbon pesach. V'afagav di'ein miyut zeh morid u'malal hadas. Physically, the removal of the berries has no impact on the hadas, and the only tikkun that the Gemara could have in mind is al yidei kach miskash lulav. And here too, the child who's an oral becomes a kosher, a sholem, as a mohu. And again, the Trumas Hadeshin is insisting within Rashi's frame of reference that what makes mila into a tikkun, it's not the kiyum mitzvah of mila, but rather tikkun in the halachic sense, that now the child is kosher l'mitzvos, and therefore Rashi was hard pressed to come up with some justification that mavir in Sreifas Vas Kohen would be a tikkun, because mitzvah is not a candidate. A mitzvah is not powerful enough to make it into a tikkun, which again we have a problem with that. Well, if he's there, since you're telling me that the tikkun is because you want to be masaken the child so that now he could be a sholem as a mole, is ha'av vade miskaven komechaven letaken es b'no. Certainly the father has kavana to be metaken. So his tzorech is this tikkun, kideshiye nikra sholem. That's the interest of the father to be masaken his son and make him into a sholem. Upsigresha legabe, and therefore if there's a psigresha here, le'inyan tikkun gavra, afagav the ikar kavana le'mitzvah v'chiyuva, even though his main kavana is for the mitzvah, which itself would not make it into a tikkun according to Rashi's pshat. But nevertheless, the fact that he wants to make the child into a tikkun gavra sholem, that itself makes it into a moleches tikkun, and that he certainly has kavana for. Although again, one might argue his kavana is conditional. It's only kavana if he was able to be metaken gavra. He doesn't want to draw blood from the child and weaken the child if it won't make him into a sholem. So that's a very strange kind of miskaven. It's a conditional miskaven. So I don't know why that makes it into a dovra miskaven. But in any event, he says aval acher. He says someone else who's only interested in representing the father for the mitzvah of mila. But lo ichpas leiv b'tikun atinok. He's not interested. He gets no benefit from the tikun atinok, and therefore for an acher it remains a meleches kilkul. And he gives a comparison from a sugya in Perek Avona. So what I'd like you to do for today, this is the homework, so to speak, for today during Chavrusa time, is to please go through the Tosis, the first half of the Tosis, Dibra Maskil, Mali Levashel Psila. We're going to Mali Levashel Psila, that's the Tosis here. And then I'm going to ask you to I don't know where we put Shavav. I know we had it before. There's one behind you, Harvey, if you want to take it from there, although I know it's somewhere in this haystack. So that, again, so we want to review Tosis Mali.
Thank you.
Oh, you got it? Here, Mali, Tosis Mali. Here, I'll underline it for you. Okay, just the first half. We'll get to the word Avol. Okay. And number two, we want to take a look at the Rashba, so please, let's photocopy the Rashba. I was unaware of the Rashba yesterday in the daytime. I found it at night. And finally, we want to look at the Trumas Hadeshin. And in order to study the Truma Sadeshen, you're going to have to work pretty hard. And after you finish all of that, hopefully that'll be tomorrow, I'll give you more Maramakomas. And if you finish it before the end of the morning, let me know, you know, and I'll try to fill you in. Okay then? So we'll stop here.